seated. So great to have Dr. Bob Shelton with us. Please come.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Thank you for coming tonight. My, this is a good group here on Sunday night. I think more than we had this morning. I'm not sure, but I appreciate you taking that effort. And my, the music in this place really stirs my soul. These folks on the piano and the men with their beautiful song tonight. And then even the pastor. My, not too many pastors can play a euphonium like that. Of course, he's been playing a long time. I guess you knew that, didn't you? He picked that up when he's just a little boy. And his music teacher way back yonder said, now, Davy, what you got to do is really get that lip in shape. And you don't have to carry that heavy euphonium around all day. Just take the mouthpiece and you just blow it morning, noon, and night, and that strengthens your lips. The only problem, every time anything would touch his lips, he'd just blow. My, one night his mother served peas for supper and they went all over the table. Sometime later, when he married Elaine, the first time he kissed her, he almost blew her ears off. So I don't know about, but anyway, he plays it very well, and I appreciate that so much. My, am I thrilled tonight to have Steve and Meg Damer here. Would you guys stand up? I want to just let these folks know some very special friends of mine. There they are. Thank you. And they got their son here and grandchildren. And I just appreciate them coming tonight. I've known Steve since he was 5 years old. And I'm going to say more maybe about his dear daddy later. But his mom and dad were farmers in Howe, Indiana. And you know, they supported us as missionaries. That's a long, long time ago. And I see Steve and Meg, and it just almost brings me to tears. It brings back a lot of memories of days gone by. And they drove a long way to get here. And thank you, folks, for coming. You're very special to us. Well, I want us to go right on in our continuing study of Bible prophecy. I don't know if we have some more of these charts available, Pastor, or not. Are there any extra out there? Well, oh, there are a few. Okay, well, if you can get those, maybe some don't have them yet, and we'll just let Elaine come back in a moment. If you don't have one of these charts, we'd like for you to take one, because everything I have to say on the subject of Bible prophecy will find its place somewhere on this little prophetic chart. And while they're doing that, let me just say the books that we've written on this subject are really the property of the Bob Jones Press, the BJ Press. They're their books, but I go to a church like this and they tell me, well, you just tell people that if they order them through the church, they get a 40% discount. Well, that's pretty good. And so if you'd like to get one, there are two on prophecy, and another one on God's direction in our lives way back yonder. And there's a picture of Steve in there with all of his family in that little book, Through a Great Door. So if you're interested in getting one of those books, I think the sign-up sheet, I don't know where it is, but it's in the foyer someplace, and you can just, it's out this way? Good. You can just sign up, and then as Pastor said, when they arrive, then you can pay for them. And I hope that they'll be a blessing to you. There were a lot of, yes, if you don't have one, lift your hand. And we want you to have one of these little charts. They're yours for the taking. And all these charts that we're using are in the books. So if you have those books, you'll have a copy there. I want us to go on in our study on Bible prophecy. We're not going to exhaust this study in just a Sunday through a Tuesday. That's not possible. But I do want to cover as much as we can. What we did this morning in the two sessions was cover the events around the rapture of the church. And then in the morning service, we covered the events relating to the Antichrist and the signing of that peace treaty, which triggers the tribulation period. That will be our study, Lord willing, tonight. as we look at the events in that seven-year period. Tomorrow night, I want us to cover the events in a little gap of time. It's 75 days in duration. Where do we read about that? And what will happen during those 75 days? Then on Tuesday, the events concerning the millennial kingdom. Oh my, a lot of things gonna happen, and we know they will come to pass because they're in God's word. Now, once again, we will not exhaust this subject in a short period of time like this, but I hope we'll cover enough that it will excite you to go on in your continuing study of Bible prophecy. Let's bow our hearts again as we look to the Lord for his blessing in our service tonight. Lord, again, we thank you for the beautiful music we have heard. It's prepared our hearts now for the study in your word. And I pray that once again we'll be conscious of the presence of our unseen guest, the Holy Spirit. And I pray that he will be our teacher. So bless us in these moments, and we'll be certain to give thee all the praise because we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, if you were here this morning, you know that we looked at Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, and you might like to go there once again. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, and there we read, and he... That's a reference to the Antichrist. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now remember, the Antichrist can't even be revealed until after the rapture. And I think he's alive right now. As we discovered this morning, we know he'll be a Jew. We know he'll come up out of the revived Roman Empire. That's not in place yet, but it's probably going to come together very soon. So we know who he will be, we know where he'll come from, we know what he will do. He will sign that peace treaty, which is the single event that triggers that seven-year period. Because we read, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's not a seven-day week. As I said this morning, it's the Hebrew word Shabua. It simply means seven. He's going to confirm this covenant. It's a covenant of peace, guaranteeing the peace of Israel for a period of 7 years. Now, that period is divided, as we noted this morning, into 3.5 years. That's the beginning of sorrows. Another 3.5 years, that's the great tribulation. If you want it in days, it's 1,260 days, then another 1,260 days. But all of that is the 70th week of Daniel. It's very important that we have that clear in our minds. Well, when the Jews received that covenant of peace, guaranteeing their peace, the Jews are going to say, oh, at last our Messiah is here. As we discovered this morning, the true Messiah already came. And he came unto his own, but his own received him not. So they rejected the true Messiah, the Christ. Someday they will accept the false Messiah. He is the Antichrist. And dear friends, I think we are very close to that time when Antichrist will be revealed. But he can't come on the scene until the church has been raptured. Now, when he arrives and the Jews believe their Messiah at last is here, God is going to send two special representatives. Two preachers are going to come from heaven, and they will come down to the earth. And they're going to say to the nation of Israel, oh, no. This one whom you have accepted as your long-awaited Christ is not the true Christ. The true Christ came and you nailed him to a cross. You used the Romans to do that, but you were behind it all because you rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? I'd like to hear those two witnesses. You say, well, who are they? Turn with me to Revelation 11, will you please? Revelation chapter 11, and notice verse 3. Revelation 11, verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. That's 1,260 days. It appears that these two witnesses will come right here at the beginning of that 70th week when Antichrist signs that peace treaty. And they will witness for 1,260 days. Now, we don't have time to consider all that's going to happen to them, but Antichrist will have them killed here. Their bodies will lie on the streets of Jerusalem, and then the Lord is going to catch them up in clear view. You say, well, who are these two witnesses? The Bible tells us in verse 6, these have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. Sounds like Elijah to me. And have power over waters to turn them to blood, to smite the earth with all plagues. Sounds like Moses to me. In other words, God is going to send Moses and Elijah. And here they're going to be on earth and they're going to be witnessing about our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know as a result of their witness, 144,000 Jews are going to come to the Lord Jesus and trust him as Savior? If you'll turn back a few pages to Revelation chapter 7, we have these tribes listed, and 12,000 out of each of these 12 tribes are going to come to Christ. Now, we won't take time to read them, but beginning at verse 4 of Revelation 7, we have this remnant out of Israel who will be sealed. They will come to Christ. They will be saved. I notice that the tribe of Dan is excluded. And it may be because Dan was always the first tribe to go into apostasy. Some people feel Antichrist will even come out of the tribe of Dan. But you'll notice in verse 8, one of the sons of Joseph will take his place. That's Ephraim. So what we have here then are 12 tribes, and there will be 12,000 out of those 12 tribes who will come to the Lord Jesus and trust him as Savior. In Revelation 14, verse 4, they are called the first fruits unto God and the Lamb. You know what that means? They will be the first people to come to Christ after the rapture. You see, when the rapture takes place, every believer is gone. There will not be one unsaved, not one believer on the earth. All of those here are unsaved. But as a result of the witness of Moses and Elijah, the 144,000 are going to come to Christ. Once again, they are called the first fruits unto God and the Lamb. That is, they will be the first people to get saved on earth after the rapture. 144,000. There is, unfortunately, a religious cult, and they say that the first people to be saved or come to this new life in their cult would be the 144,000. Maybe you've heard about them. Maybe they've knocked on your door. Many years ago, they knocked on our door. And this fellow stood there, and I looked at him, and he said, sir, he said, I've come to tell you that you could be one of the 144,000. I said, is that right? He said, yes. I said, are you one of the 144,000? He said, yes. I said, which tribe do you come from? He had no idea what I was talking about. And I said, furthermore, the 144,000 are not saved until after the rapture. And the rapture hasn't happened yet. I know that because I'm still here. Dear friends, if somebody comes to you and they want you to join that cult, oh, turn a deaf ear. The 144,000 are all Jews, 12,000 out of each of the 12 tribes that are listed here, the first to come to the Lord Jesus following the rapture. But as we noted this morning, Antichrist is going to come to the front right here at the beginning, and the nation of Israel is going to say, oh, isn't this wonderful? We must be living in the kingdom. This is the millennial kingdom. And here we are with our true Christ. As we noted this morning, that's when they let down the bars, they become the land of unwalled villages. That is when those nations in Ezekiel 38, beginning with Russia, Iran, Iraq, Turkey, Germany, other nations that are listed, and they come against Israel, but God sends the earthquake and the fire from heaven, and 5/6 of that great army will meet the wrath of God and die. Now, the Bible doesn't go into detail, but it's my conviction. At that point, Antichrist will say to Israel, look what I did. He's going to pretend that he's God. And the Jews are going to say, oh, yes, look what you did. Isn't that wonderful? Did you know that's why God will send Moses and Elijah? And I can hear them say, oh, no, this man didn't send the earthquake. He didn't send the fire from heaven. And those believing Jews, that is, those 144,000, are going to say, now we know the truth. The one who was nailed to that cross those many years ago, the one whom our nation rejected, is the true Christ. Oh, but during this time, it's called the beginning of sorrows. The 144,000 will come to Christ, and then they will begin to witness, and they're going to tell the nation of Israel the truth. Now, some people feel that since the Bible says, and all Israel shall be saved, that every Jew is going to come to Christ. No, dear friends, that's not the case. We will discover that tomorrow night. Because there are many Jews who will not come to the Lord Jesus. You say, well, Brother Bob, what does it mean? And all Israel shall be saved. That is, all believing Israel will be making up the true nation of Israel. Yes, the nation will be saved. But not every Jew is going to come to Christ, but millions will. Now, once a Jew comes to Christ, not just the 144,000, but millions of others are going to start coming to the Lord Jesus, particularly in this second 3.5 year period. Why? Because two things are going to happen right here at the midway point of that 7 year period. Would you go back with me to Daniel chapter 9, please? Daniel chapter 9. And again, we look at verse 27. Daniel 9:27, and he, the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, that's 7 years, but in the midst of the week, that's after 3.5 years, in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he'll make it desolate. In other words, in the midst of the week. Now that's right here. Antichrist is going to tell these Jews, all right, you're having these sacrifices, no more need for that. Furthermore, he'll have an image made like unto himself. And he's going to put that image right into the temple there in Jerusalem. Say, isn't it interesting? The Jews already have all of the materials they need right now to build that temple. They're looking forward right now to the construction of that temple. Are we living in exciting days or what? Antichrist is going to have an image made like unto himself, and he will put it in that temple, and he will say, now bow down and worship my image. Well, those Jews are going to say, hey, wait a minute. That goes against the Old Testament law. This can't be the true Christ. He wouldn't have an image made and say, bow down and worship my image. Why, the message we've been hearing from those two witnesses, they really are Moses and Elijah. The message that we've been given by these 144,000 is true. And did you know these Jews are going to start coming to Christ literally by the millions? Oh, but dear friends, they're going to have to flee. Anybody who will not pay homage to Antichrist will not bow the knee to Antichrist. I'll tell you, friends, if Antichrist can find them, he will behead them. Beheading is the method used then, and it's quite interesting. It's being used today now as never before. But Antichrist will be on the lookout for anybody who will reject him. And those who come out and say, the true Christ is the one who came long ago, went to that cross, shed his blood and gave his life, arose from the dead. Antichrist is going to say, if you believe that, you're dead. So what will these Jews do? They are actually going to go into all of the world. Oh, but did you know Satan is behind all of this? And as we continue on in progressing through our little chart here, I wish you'd turn with me, please, to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, because there's another very important event that happens here in the midst of the week. We're talking about this midway point right here. You see this red line? That represents Satan. Now, way back yonder, here he was in heaven, but he was cast out of heaven, and though he has access to the earth, he set up his headquarters out here in the atmospheric and the celestial heavens. He's the prince of the power of the air. But the day is coming when God is going to say, I will no longer allow him to come into my presence to accuse the brethren. He's doing that now. I will no longer allow him to be the prince of the power of the air. I'm going to cast him to the earth, and he will be confined to the earth. Now, with that background, we're in Revelation chapter 12. Notice beginning at verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now would you notice verse 13 now? And when the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. That's Israel. The man-child is our Savior, the Lord Jesus. That's where he came from. And Satan will begin to persecute Israel in verse 14. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished, please notice, for a time, that's 1 year, and times, that's 2 more years, that's 3 years, and half a time, that's half a year. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher, aren't you reading into that just a little more? Oh, no, look at verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her 1,260 days. That's 1,260 days. Whether it's 3.5 years, that's time, times, and half a time, or 1,260 days, it's the second half of the 70th week of Daniel. It's called the time of great tribulation. And oh, what great tribulation there's going to be. You know, the world's in a mess right now. But did you know, dear friends, this is like a church picnic compared to what is coming. Jesus was talking about these days right here when he said, except those days should be shortened, and that word means cut off, no flesh would be saved. Did you know if Satan had a few more days here on earth, everybody would be dead? I didn't say that. Jesus did. Except those days should be terminated, cut off. No flesh should be saved. Do you know Satan is a murderer? He has been from the beginning. Friend, he wants you dead. Who wants to play with somebody who wants them dead? Oh, I see a lot of precious young people here. My heart gets kind of full when I see young people. We've got several grandchildren. Now we have four great-grandchildren. And I look at these kids, and I'll tell you, old great-grandpa just loves his kids. But if you don't get anything else from this conference, would you pick up this, young people? Don't flirt with the devil. He wants you dead. He hates you. Have nothing to do with him. If he offers anything, it's not worth receiving. You know, Satan is going to pull out all the stops when he's cast to the earth. And for 3.5 years, little wonder, it is called the time of great tribulation. Well, now, what will these believing Jews then do? Did you know they're going to go literally into all of the world? Indeed, they will. And as they go, they are going to be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. I wish you'd turn with me, please, to Matthew 24 and notice verse 14. Matthew 24 and verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, this is not a reference to the church going into all the world preaching the gospel. Some people lift this verse out of context. This is one reason I wrote the little book, Prophecy in Context. Did you know there is nothing in Matthew 24 about the church? The church is already gone. Well, what is this then? This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached? Oh, yes. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's preached just prior to the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end of the great tribulation come. That's what we have here in Matthew chapter 24. And did you know they're going to do a great job as they go literally into all the world? You need not turn to it, but back to Revelation chapter 7. And we notice in verse 9, after this I beheld, lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. You say, Brother Bob, what is this? These believing Jews, as they flee from the heavy hand of Antichrist, are going to go into every kingdom. They are going to preach the gospel in every nation, every kindred, every tongue. Now, we have the Great Commission today. The Lord Jesus has given it to the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the Great Commission. But did you know there are still some tongues we haven't reached? There's some tribes we haven't touched. If we had to use this verse and relate it to the church, then Christ couldn't come back. The fact is, he could come back right now. But there are some tribes that haven't been reached. There are tongues that don't have the Word of God, but they will. When I finished college in 1951, one day the Lord had brought a lovely little girl into my life there. This is my senior year. And boy, I tell you, I really tumbled. And she's been turning my motor over ever since. I just thank God for her. But she was my dear little Nancy. And And we set a date. We were going to get married right after I graduated. And dear old Bob Jones Jr. came to me one day and he said, Bob, he said, we've got a wonderful opportunity and we just feel that you ought to take advantage of this. And I'm sorry you're going to have to leave and you can't fulfill your desire right now to marry Nancy if you do this, but I just wanted to put this challenge before you. And I say, well, what is it? He said, did you know Chiang Kai-shek has just left China? Well, he had left about a year and a half or 2 years before because the communists had taken over mainland China. And Chiang Kai-shek was exhausted and his soldiers were tired. And he thought, well, I'll go across the Straits of Formosa. I'll go to the little island of Formosa, or Taiwan it's called, and my soldiers can recoup. They can get their strength back. But now, by 1951, they still hadn't returned, and the soldiers were frustrated. Some of them had left their wives and their families back on the mainland. Now, there were 3 million people in all who followed Chiang Kai-shek from the mainland of China to the little island of Formosa, 3 million. But 500,000 were his soldiers. These men were tired. They were frustrated. Some of them hadn't seen their families now for almost 2 years. And Chiang Kai-shek had accepted Christ as Savior on the mainland many years before. There was an American missionary, his name was Dick Hillis. He had gone out under the old China Inland Mission, and he knew Generalissimo Chiang Kai-shek. And Chiang Kai-shek said to Dick one day, he said, I'd like for you to go back to America and bring some young preachers here because I want all of my servicemen to hear the gospel. Can you imagine? Didn't you know Chiang Kai-shek at one time was the leader of 1/4 of all the people on earth? That's right. At that point, 1 out of every 4 was Chinese under the leadership of Generalissimo Chiang Kai-shek. Now here he is in Taiwan with 500,000 weary soldiers who are frustrated. And Chiang Kai-shek knew this was a great opportunity to reach them with the gospel. So Dick Hillis came back to the States, and he went to several colleges, and he said, do you have somebody you could send? And there were about a half a dozen colleges that responded. And as I said, I had just finished there at BJU, and the school said, would you represent us? So I went to my little wife-to-be, and I said, my, here's an opportunity we just can't pass up. She said, you're right. Let's put off our wedding for a year. And I praised God that she had that response. She had that attitude. And so I took off for Taiwan. By the way, there was a farmer up in Howe, Indiana, who heard about this. His son was 5 years old, and he's sitting right out there. Steve Damer. And his dad heard about this. And he got in contact with the school and he said, I hear you're going to send somebody to Taiwan. Can I support him? And the school said, well, you sure can. And I went out there to the farm one day and I met one of the most godly men I've ever met in my life. He said, Bob, I think God has laid you on my heart. If you go out there and preach to those servicemen, I'll support you. I said, Raj, thank you. You know, I took off for Taiwan. All these 500,000 servicemen were in army camps all over the island of Taiwan or Formosa. There might be 3,000 in one camp, 5,000 in one. In one camp, there were 10,000. So Dick Hillis said, all right, I want you to go to all of the camps in the southern part of Taiwan. And we've got a couple more guys. They're going to go to all the camps in the central part. We've got another team. They're going to go to all the camps in the northern part. And there were two young fellows there. They were twins, Gene and Dean Dendler. And one played the trumpet, one played the trombone, and they came out to provide music. So they traveled with me, and we started going to these camps. Chiang Kai-shek made it a requirement. Everybody in the camp had to come to to this special meeting. Can you imagine going to a camp with 10,000 servicemen and here they're standing at attention waiting to hear the gospel? Well, it took the better part of a year. And we went to all of those camps. Every camp was reached. All 500,000 had heard the gospel. You say, well, what happened? Over 100,000 came to Christ and trusted him as Savior. You say, you really think they were truly born again? Oh, yes. We gave them a free Bible study course. Dick Hillis had other missionaries there, and they built some buildings and organized a foreign mission society. And some of these missionaries were working in the office to grade papers to send them back to these servicemen. It took a year for these men to go through the Bible study course and memorize over 100 verses in the Bible. All 100,000 servicemen finished the course and memorized every verse. 100,000. It was one of the greatest days of evangelism in the history of the Far East, because one missionary had a vision, and Chiang Kai-shek wanted all of his men to hear the truth of the gospel. You know, dear old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was very active back there. Remember, this was back in early 1952. It really started and went on for about a year. And dear old Dr. Bob Jones Sr., he was so excited to think what had happened over there. He sent me a telegram. He said, Bob, I'm going to come to Taiwan. Now here, he was up in years. He's the man who started that university in 1927. So he flew into Taipei, and Chiang Kai-shek knew that he was coming. He had his top generals at the airport and all kinds of people to greet dear old Dr. Bob, and I couldn't get close to him. I'm standing way behind in the crowd someplace, and he got off the plane. He's looking for me, but he couldn't see me for the crowd. And finally, I'm back there waving, and he saw my hand, and he just motioned, well, you follow me. And I did. They had quite a procession there. They put Dr. Bob in this beautiful limousine, and they drove up this beautiful mountain there outside of Taipei, Formosa, and they got up to this lovely home. It was the home of Chiang Kai-shek. Well, I had a little car, and I was following along, too, and we got up there, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. Dr. Bob said, okay, Bob, I want you with me, and we're going into the home, and we're going to meet Chiang Kai-shek. The door opened, and we went in, and there were about a dozen people there, and there's a picture of this in my little book, Through a Great Door. And there in the living room of Chiang Kai-shek, in view of these probably 12 leaders, the U.S. ambassador was there and other leaders in Chiang Kai-shek's military, about 12 people were in the room. And did you know there, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. gave Chiang Kai-shek an honorary doctor's degree from Bob Jones University. Can you imagine? I was thrilled to just be there to look at that situation, to see what had happened. It was a miracle from Almighty God that all of these men were able to hear the gospel and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I say all of that because we're talking about the day when these Jews who are fleeing from the heavy hand of Antichrist will be going literally into all the world. They'll be preaching the gospel in places that have never heard it before. But that's prophecy. What's going on right now? Did you know you and I should be busy out there seeking to win the lost for Christ? I'll never forget, as long as I live, when the army camp evangelism was over, Dick Hillis told me, he said, Bob, he said, I know you want to get back home. I know you want to marry Nancy, but there's another project I've got for you. And I thought, well, what is this? He said, you know, there are some islands off the coast of China. They have never been visited by a missionary. And I wish you'd go. Well, I was given an interpreter. His name was Li Shen Chang. We called him Bill. Bill Lee. There's a picture of Bill in my book. He's just like a brother. Bill was my interpreter. We had a Chinese pastor, and they had rented a boat. It was seaworthy, had a captain, had a few Chinese hands on board. And Bill and this pastor and I got on that boat, and we took off to a group of islands called the Pescadores off the coast of China. Did you know, in the time that followed, we were able to go to 12 of those islands that had never been reached by a missionary. Matter of fact, 8 of them had never seen a white man till I went there. You know, it's quite an experience to set foot on an island, and everybody wanted to see this funny fella with white skin. They came down to the beach, and they had never seen blue eyes, and they had never seen white skin, and I felt like a freak. I mean, I went to those 12 islands, but you know, Bill and I began to preach. We told them about Christ, why he came. I wish I could say everybody on every island came to Christ, but you could have counted on one hand the number of those islanders who came to Christ and trusted him as Savior. But the seed was planted. That Chinese pastor kept going back to all of those islands. He went back again and again and again. And did you know those people started coming to Christ literally by the hundreds? And it wasn't long until there was a church planted on every one of those 12 islands. Quite some time ago, my dear friend Lehman Strauss, we used to have a lot of conferences together here in this country and overseas. When we got to Taiwan for a special conference in the churches there, the people out on those islands heard that I was there in Taiwan, and they said, would you come back here again? It's been a long time since you came, and would you come back? Did you know the Christians from all 12 islands came to the largest island? They had the largest church, and there were hundreds of these precious Chinese who came together, and Lehman and I had the first Bible conference for those people on 12 islands off the coast of China. Strauss told me later, he said, you know, Bob, this is the greatest single experience I have ever had in the ministry. It was a great time of harvesting, a great time of blessing. You say, well, why do you even tell a story like that? Because, dear friends, there are still islands like that that have never been touched. There are people like that who have never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Now, some of them may not hear the gospel before the church is raptured, but according to the word of God, when these Jews are saved in tribulation days, they are going to go into every kindred, every tongue, every tribe. This is going to be a wonderful time as they preach the gospel of the kingdom. Now, don't misunderstand. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus. It's his death upon the cross. But it's simply going to be preached prior to the kingdom. We're talking about Bible prophecy. Some marvelous things are going to happen in days ahead according to God's prophetic plan. But we're not there yet. We're living here in the age of grace. And we're still under that command, the Great Commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Dear friends, what a blessed time and what a wonderful experience to go and to be able to preach the word of God and then to be caught up and be with the Lord Jesus up here, because we're going to be in glory during these horrible days here on the earth. So what we do for God, I firmly believe we need to do now. We don't have time. We don't have long till our Lord is going to come and rapture his bride. It could be tonight. Well, my time is gone. Let's bow our hearts in prayer, shall we, please? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, perhaps there's somebody here tonight will say, well, preacher, that's interesting that the gospel is going to be preached literally into all the world. But here I am in America, and I haven't accepted Christ. I'm as lost as those people in those pagan countries. I need to come to Christ right here, right now. If you've never opened your heart in simple faith and invited the Lord Jesus to come in, you can do it here, you can do it now. And I'm just wondering, is there somebody here who'd be willing to say, preacher, I've never been saved, but I want to be saved now, and I'm ready to pray and ask Christ to come into my life. I want to open the door of my heart and invite him to come in. After all, he promised, if any man open the door, I will come into him. Is there somebody tonight would say, preacher, I don't want to go any further without Christ, the true Christ, and I want to invite this wonderful crucified, resurrected Lamb of God into my heart. He who took my sin on the cross, now I can take his righteousness when he comes into my life. You see, we go to heaven not because we're good. Go to heaven because he's good. He didn't die on the cross because he was bad. He died there because we're bad. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There's somebody say, preacher, I'm ready to open my heart. I want to invite Jesus to come in right now. If you've never done that and you want to, would you just lift your hand for a moment? Now, raising your hand won't save you. You're just saying, I know I need to be saved. And I'd like to invite Christ into my heart tonight. Anybody like that while we wait just a moment? I won't point you out. I'll not embarrass you. Oh, but I'd love to see you come to Christ. One last call. Anyone here like that tonight? Maybe there's a Christian who would say, Brother Bob, I'm beginning to see the world maybe as God sees it, lost, condemned. Perhaps God doesn't want me to go to some foreign field, but I can go to my own Jerusalem. I've got a neighbor who needs Christ. I've got a relative who needs to be saved. And tonight I'm ready and willing to do whatever is necessary to try to reach somebody for the Lord Jesus. Now, you don't have to tell me about that, but would you tell God about it? Maybe somebody is on your heart right now and you just want to talk to God for a moment. Ask the Lord to help you to be the missionary that he wants you to be. Before Pastor comes to close this service any way he feels led, Pastor, give us just a minute, if you will, please. And you pray there right where you're seated. Let's do business with God tonight and then go out to do what we can to fulfill this great commission. God bless you.